alarm was hanging in the air, a constant blaring barrage of sound. Ace was mentally kicking himself for getting into this situation. He had broken his number one rule, his only rule really, never trust anyone. Now he was cornered and trapped, hiding with Mal in the shadows. What did she care if she got caught? She was chipped. If they found him, they'd put him in chains and march him back down to Hell's Gate. Ace and Mal peeked from their hiding place behind a bank of air condensers. Engineers, scientists, and security sentries were everywhere, running to the source of the alarm. Hazel was pressed against Ace's thigh, on high alert. Ace's optics had finally rebooted and he poked his head around the heavy machinery. He could see that the one exit point in the area was being blocked by two sentries, who had posted on either side of the door. Ace whispered to Mal, "One exit, but it's guarded. Two sentries. We'll never get out of here now. Never should have listened to you."
"Calm down. I have an idea."
Mal knelt down next to Hazel.
"Sit."
Hazel looked at Mal, then turned to look up at Ace. Ace looked down and nodded. Hazel sat on her haunches. Mal ran her fingers behind Hazel's right shoulder.
"What are you doing?"
Mal silenced him with a look. Her pointer finger dropped down to the joint in Hazel's right leg. She pressed a small, nearly invisible button with her fingertip. A panel slid out from the bot's ribcage area, exposing a cavity. Mal placed the drive inside, then pressed the small button again, closing the panel.
"How did you know about that?"
"There was a man I knew when I was little, a mechanical engineer. A very smart man. He worked for my mother. I used to watch him working on those Darva bots. I thought they were cute. He would tell me secrets about them, things that the sentries didn't even know. And then he upgraded them to the Jackal model, and then to the Moss series. Killer bots, that's his specialty."
Ace wanted to ask her more questions. He wanted to know more about who she was, but they were in a tight spot. He decided to stay focused on escape.
"So, now what?"
"Create a diversion."
Mal pursed her lips and bent down low, whistling a two-tone command in Hazel's ear. Hazel looked at Mal, then turned to Ace, and finally swiveled around to face the sentries flanking the exit. Hazel's back legs coiled as she bent low, almost as if she was taking a sprinter's stance. Then she took off, disappearing from view in seconds. Hazel darted out from the air condenser unit and was halfway to the sentries before they caught a glimpse of her. One of the sentries jerked back, reaching for his holstered firearm. Hazel leapt at him, launching herself at the sentry as he fumbled to get his weapon raised. The impact knocked him back into the wall, and he fell to the ground. Hazel didn't stop. She bolted through the exit and ran away at top speed. The other sentry pulled his weapon and fired a plasma round, but Hazel was moving too quickly and he missed. The stunned sentry got to his feet and they both chased after Hazel. Mal and Ace stepped out and looked around. There was nobody in sight. They ran to the exit and then turned the opposite direction the sentries and Hazel had gone. The alarm was still blaring, but the shouting and commotion had died down.
"What about Hazel? Where did she go?"
Ace followed Mal as she moved carefully through a labyrinth of corridors and tunnels. As they passed the food and water processing stations, they didn't see any more people, as if they had all been drawn to the data storage room to look for intruders. Soon, they were back in the lush green of the Winter Garden Solarium. It was in the lunar cycle, and a cool blue light shone down on the foliage. Mal fought through a patch of thick vines and bushes, still at a full run, shielding her face with her arms. Then she pushed through into a clearing and crashed into a man in a lab coat. Mal took a step back, then Ace crashed through the brush, slamming into her, and she was forced into the man again. This time, he caught her in his arms. He looked down at her.
"Mal?"
Mal's eyes went wide, as if this was the last person she expected to encounter.
"Uncle Tomas."
"What are you doing here? There's been a breach in the records room."
"I heard the alarm. I was just trying to follow protocol, get back to my quarters."
"Good."
Tomas looked past Mal and saw Ace standing behind her.
"Who is this?"
Mal spoke quickly, the lie already on her lips.
"This is Ace. He's with sanitation. He found me when the alarm went off. I asked him to escort me back to my room."
Tomas looked at his uniform, then his eyes locked on the optics goggles.
You've modified these. Did you get them from Dr. Swenson?
Ace did not have a lie prepared, so he told the truth.
I found them in the grotto and repaired them.
The waste repository?
Yes, sir.
You're quite a resourceful young man. What sector are you attached to?
Mal was getting jumpy from the questions and interjected.
I really just want to get back to my quarters, Uncle.
Tomas looked at her, a sympathetic smile on his face.
Of course. I'll come see you when the alarm is cleared. I'm sure it's nothing.
Mal exhaled and turned to walk away, but Tomas grabbed her shoulder.
Wait!
What is it?
Tomas reached up to her hair and pulled out a metal hairpin. Ace could see there was some sort of decorate symbol or shape on it right above the tines, but he didn't recognize it.
Your hairpin. It came loose. You don't want to lose this.
Tomas pushed the hairpin back into her hair.
Oh, thanks.
Get back to your room. I'll sort this out.
Okay. Bye, Uncle Tomas.
Tomas hustled away toward the sound of the alarm. Melanace quickly went the other way.
I've seen pictures of that man. Deke told me, my friend told me he's the chief engineer of Subterra.
Yep.
He's a lock.
Yes, he is.
Tomas is your uncle? So that makes you...
Mal turned and curtsied and feigned a smile, speaking with a forced, sarcastic accent.
Princess Locke of the royal family. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Really?
Mal gave him a withering stare.
Shut up. Let's get out of here. Carter's expecting us at the rendezvous.
They moved into a field of tall plants, lined up in neat rows, and kept going until they reached the far end of the solarium. They went through an open doorway and entered a cave system with minimal lighting.
Where are we?
Old transit tunnel to the chute. Nobody uses this anymore. We'll be safe.
How will Hazel find us?
I linked her to my biochip frequency. Has anyone ever told you that you worry too much?
Once they were well inside the cave, Mal stopped running but kept walking at a brisk pace, catching her breath. Ace, who was used to running for his life, was hardly winded at all. He walked a few steps behind Mal.
So you aren't a princess?
Subterra isn't a monarchy, last time I checked.
But you are Locke.
My mother is Dalton Locke's daughter.
And your father?
Mal hesitated a moment.
Micah Pinder.
He's superintendent of the chute!
For a bunker orphan, you sure seem to know a lot.
I don't understand.
What?
You have it all. Clothes, clean water, more food than you can eat. Your own room! So why are you stealing things? What? Why are you helping Carter?
You have no idea what goes on in the upper reaches. You think people in the chute are free? You're wrong. Carter knows. He's the smartest man I've ever met, and he's gonna make things right.
How's he gonna do all that?
By giving power back to the people.
What if they hurt your family?
Carter is a peaceful, kind man. He promised that nobody gets hurt. Now, come on. We're late.
They kept going. The lights in the tunnel grew further and further apart, and soon they were in near darkness. Ace keyed the brightness on his optics and stepped ahead of Mal. The cave opened up into a wide chasm. There was a small sliver of rock ledge for them to traverse. Water seeped out from the wall, making the footing treacherous. Ace looked down and couldn't see the bottom of the pit. Ace spoke to Mal, and his voice echoed in the black void.
Stay right behind me.
Ace pressed against the cavern wall as he slowly moved along the ledge. His foot kicked a small stone on the path. He eyed it and stooped over carefully to pick it up.
What's that?
Flint. Ace put the flint into the pocket of his jumpsuit, then looked up and saw the ledge widened ahead. Soon, they were on safer ground. The cave took a sharp right turn and Ace could see a pale light spilling out onto the floor. Ace took a step and his foot slipped on a patch of wet algae. His foot shot out over the edge. But Mal stepped forward quickly and grabbed him by the back of his jumpsuit, pulling him back to safety.
Thanks.
Mal stepped into the lead as they took the right fork. They walked for a moment in silence, then Ace asked a question.
What is that in your hair?
My hairpin?
What is that thing on it?
Mel stopped, turned to Ace. She pulled the hairpin out of her hair and showed it to him. It looked small and delicate, and the silver gleamed dully in the faint light. Above the tines there was an engraved shape. It looked like a girl with wings.
It's a sprite.
A sprite? I don't know what that is.
Forest fairy. Wood nymph?
Ace just stared at her with no comprehension.
Magical creature, lives in the forest. No? My grandfather gave it to me. It belonged to his mother.
Wow, it's made of silver.
But Mal ignored him. She looked around as if she was recognizing a landmark. She picked up the pace.
It's just up ahead.
They came to a pressure door with a small light just above it. There was no keypad or any sort of handle on their side. Mal stepped up to the door, picked up a rock, and banged on the door 3 times. Paused, then once more. A beat passed. Mal turned to Ace. He couldn't read her expression in the half-light. Then, there was a loud thump from the other side of the door, and a long hiss as steam vented from the pressure door locks. The door slowly rolled back and opened. Ace and Mal stepped through. For a moment, they could see nothing. The thick steam was still clearing in the dimly lit space. Then, shapes came into view. Ace took a step back. There were people in the small room, about 20 in all, and a few more stepped out from the shadows. One of the people stepped forward, a man with long blonde hair, pale blue eyes, wearing a brown cloak that stretched to his ankles. He stopped and stared at Mal for a moment, taking the time to flash a wide smile before speaking.
Praise our moon!
You made it.
Carter held out his arms wide and Mal rushed into them. He hugged her tightly for a moment, then stepped back, keeping his hands on her shoulders.
We were worried.
I'm sorry. I'm late. I know.
Carter looked at Mal with concern.
There was an alarm in Sector 7. I thought maybe...
We ran into a problem, but we figured it out.
We?
Carter looked past Mal and spied Ace. He stepped back from Mal and stepped toward Ace. Carter's smile disappeared.
That wasn't part of the plan.
I know, but I had to. There was no other way.
A few of the other people also moved forward, forming a semicircle around Ace. Ace panned back and forth, looking for weapons, but he didn't see any. Still, they had his back against a wall, and he was heavily outnumbered. Ace slowly edged back toward the door, looking for a way out.
We agreed. No outsiders.
He helped me. I couldn't have done it without him.
Ace felt a tingling in his spine as he looked around the room. Something wasn't right. The look on Carter's face, his eyes. It reminded him of the sentry back in Hell's Gate, the black irises right before he shoved the dweller into the lava vat. Ace turned to Mal, wanting to warn her that they needed to run, but her eyes were locked onto Carter. Carter's smile returned.
Did you get the plans, then?
Yes.
That's all I needed to hear. Praise our moon!
Carter nodded towards 2 men who opened their cloaks and pulled out what looked like guns. They pointed the barrels at Ace. Mal turned to Carter, shocked. Ace took a step back.
What are you doing? He's with me!
We can't trust an outsider.
The men pulled the triggers and a plume of pressurized gas shot out toward Ace. The gas shrouded Ace in a cloud and he started coughing. He doubled over but didn't go down. Carter's face registered surprise.
Again. Hit him again!
No!
They shot at Mal. Once more, the pressurized gas spewed out of the barrels. Mal gasped once, and quickly crumpled to the ground.
Not her! Him!
They shot another full dose of gas at Ace. He reeled back, gasping for air, but still, he didn't go down. Through his labored breathing, he could see them drag Mal's limp body away. With the last of his breath, he called out.
No!
But she was out of range for his optics goggles. Frustrated, Carter grabbed one of the guns and slammed the butt into Ace's temple, knocking him out.
Subterra. Written and produced by Steve Kruger and Warren Davis. Performed by
Marty Yu,
Cece Boyce,
and
Hugh Fink.